This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So Al-Falaq and An-Nas, we said, are called Al-Mu'awwidhatayn, the two surahs that begin with A'udhu, meaning I seek protection. And they are essentially two appeals. You're appealing to Allah through these two surahs to protect you from different things. We'll get to that in a second. Appealing to God for protection, that is the common theme between the both of them. They are 5 verses and 6 verses. Hold that thought as to why that is, or think about it. But they are calling us to a certain behavior, which is to remind us that if you believe in Allah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, you should be behaving a certain way. You should be resorting to Him and trusting Him for your needs, right? You should be resorting to Him for your vulnerabilities. Belief and behavior cannot be separated. That's an important sort of link between قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ and what we're about to get into of the two مُعَوِّذَاتِ. Also, some of the scholars said that of the great reminders here between قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ and the next two is that when you do what Allah said, قُلْ, say, He is the one and only, you're for sure going to get opposed. Like, you know, they say like, Sheikh, don't be controversial. Right, we should not unnecessarily ruffle people's feathers. We should be sort of emotionally intelligent and not alienate people unnecessarily and all of that. Absolutely, that's prophetic. But at the end of the day, La ilaha illallah is the most controversial statement on the face of the earth. It is, right? No God, but it's controversial. So when you say قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, He's the one and only, automatically you're going to have opposition. And so automatically you're going to need to armor up, right? When you declare قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, you're going to have to do constant أَعُوذُ. Because this declaration, you will face, as a result of it, so much opposition. Is this clear? The connection between the first and the next two? All right. So let's get into Al-Mu'awwidhatayn. They both begin with قُلْ. Repetition, repetition, repetition. The Prophet ﷺ repeated these surahs almost, I will not recount, almost as much as he repeated قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Okay? Almost. After every salah we said, and we said before the sun rises and before the sun sets, and with it also he would wipe down his body for protection, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. قُلْ أَعُوذُ. Say, أَعُوذُ, I seek protection. You know the difference between Istijara and isti'adha. Istijara or jiwar, it comes from the word jar, which means neighbor. It means to come close to something for protection, like you go stand by a wall, right? For protection. But isti'adha is when you cling to it, okay? You know, like when a child is first going off to school and like they throw a tantrum because they're too attached to their parents and they grab their thigh and they panic and all. This is called isti'adha. This is called isti'adha. He's seeking refuge by attaching himself to his parents. And so you are attaching yourself with this plea to Allah Azza wa Jal. You're clinging to Him. You're attaching yourself to Him for protection. قُلْ أَعُوذُ. Say, I seek this protection. I rush to Allah. I cling to Allah for protection. But it doesn't say قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. Say, I seek this refuge with Allah. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Say, I seek this protection with Rabb, the Lord, the Master of Al-Falaq. Falaqa means to split something in half. Okay? Falaqa means to split something in half. Usually in the translations of the Quran, you'll find, I seek refuge in what? The Lord of? Daybreak. Daybreak. Right? That is the most common example of the falaq. And it is Quranic as well. Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَالِقُ الْإِصْبَاحِ. He is, one of his descriptions in another surah, Al-An'am. In Al-An'am, he is Faliq, the one who breaks open the day. Meaning the night is there, you have the break of dawn. Even in English, we call it the break of dawn. And the day begins to emerge out of it, right? So that is why it's usually translated as daybreak. But also, it's not just that. Allah Azza wa Jal said elsewhere in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَالِقُ الْحَبِّ وَالنَّوَى. Allah splits open the hab, the grains, for plants to come out, to emerge once again, and an-Nawa and the date pit, which is even harder. It's still, he still splits it open and he brings out the date palm tree from it. And so you are seeking refuge in the Lord that breaks open the darkness of the night and brings about the day, and breaks open the dead dry seed and brings out of it a living plant, right? He's the source of life and he's the source of light. Notice those common themes keep reemerging in the Quran. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. So you're seeking refuge, clinging to Allah, the Lord of breakage. Sounds wrong in English, but breakage in a, with a good connotation. Whether breaking the day open or breaking the seeds open, right? These are all positive connotations. These are to infuse you with confidence in Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. From what now? Seeking protection from what? مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقِ. From the evil of what He created. And that is the correct way to translate it. A little bit controversial, but like, just let's make believe it's not. Because this is like a philosophical question, even a theological question. Does Allah create evil or not? Right? Because if Allah is the creator of everything, He creates good and evil. And the correct answer is what? Who created evil, guys? Some will say us, some will say shaitan, some will say Allah. I don't mean scholars. But the problem, if you say anything but Allah, you've just affirmed multiple creators, which we can do. But then if you say Allah is the creator of evil, it sounds disrespectful. And that's why so many of you hesitate to do it. And that's a good thing, that where it's coming from the right place, that hesitation. The reluctancy is coming from a good place. The correct answer is that the question is wrong. There is no such thing as evil, meaning as pure evil. Evil is relative. Because what is evil? Evil is like something just like harmful, right? Allah is the most wise. Would He create something that has no benefit, just harms? No. And so evil as we perceive it, what we perceive to be evil, suffering is evil, in our, right? At face value, right? Disease is evil. Oppression is evil, right? But it is also a source of great good in the grander scheme of things. So when we're speaking about Allah who created it, you should be speaking about it while recognizing that there is good that comes out of it. And that is why I said translated as from the evil of. It's relative, not evil of what He created. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would enter salah, the dua of istiftah before al-Fatiha, he would say what? وَالْخَيْرُ كُلُّهُ فِي يَدَيْكَ. And I concur, O Allah, or I admit that all good rests in your hands. وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ. And evil is not to be attributed to you. Because when we're speaking from the reference point of Allah, the Creator, He didn't create it as evil, as just evil. Even if evil may be a dimension of it, a manifestation or an angle of it. And there's so much of this. Even the believing jinn, the jinn that were Muslim, in Surah Al-Jinn, they said, وَأَنَّا لَا نَدْرِي أَشَرٌ أُرِيدَ بِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا. We don't know, like, why is the stars and everything's changing, the constellations, and we don't understand what's happening. But they said what? Has evil been intended? They didn't say who intended it, because it would be more respectful to leave it in the passive voice. Has evil been intended for those on earth? Like, is the world about to end? Or did their Lord intend good for them? So when it came to good, they attributed it to Allah. And they were right. The stars were being reset to protect the skies for the revelation of the Quran. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was being sent with the Quran. It was the start of something good. But when, before they knew, they said, we don't know, is evil about to happen? Was it intended? They didn't say, did God intend evil, right? Was evil intended for those on earth? Or did their Lord intend good for them? There's many examples of this, by the way, of this adab, this required etiquette in the Quran. The last of them is Ibrahim alayhi salam. In the famous dua, when he's speaking about Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, هو الذي خلقني فهو يهدين. He's the one who created me. He is the one who created me, and He is the one that guides me. والذي هو يطعمني ويسقين. And He is the one that feeds me, and He is the one that gives me drink. Then he says what? وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ. And when I become sick. He didn't say when He makes me sick. He said, and when I become sick, فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. Then He's the one that heals me. You see the beauty there, the nuance? It is because we do not attribute evil to Allah Azza wa Jal. That is a pattern in the Quran. There are small exceptions to it for a reason we could talk about in a theology class, just so that no one sort of gets a lapse that Allah creates all. It's there. But in general, by and large, it's always accustoming us to this. Min sharri ma khalaq, I seek refuge in Allah, from the evil of, that could emerge, that could impact us from what He created. Min sharri ma khalaq, from the evil of what He created. Is this clear? We're good? Okay. Min sharri ma khalaq. Then there, the rest of the surah speaks about three different subsets of that evil. Three different kinds of that evil. Min sharri, from the evil of, ghasiqin idha waqab, from the evil of the night. From the evil of the night when it approaches. Some translate it as the moon. The moon is a symbol of the night. So we're all talking about the same thing here. Right? Min sharri ghasiq, from the evil of the ghasiq, darkness of the night. Idha waqab, once it arrives, and that should be self-explanatory. More evil happens at night, under the cover of night, than otherwise. More people commit mistakes at night, not just crimes and assault, but also secret sins, right? They happen at night. It was the custom of one of the Salaf, one of the early Muslims, to have a particular wird of Alhamdulillah, like a routine regiment, a daily devotional, saying Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, thank you God, thank you God, thank you God, thank you God, before he slept. And when they asked him, like, why? Well, like, it's not necessarily the sunnah to word it this way. Why did you choose this, right? To add on top of the sunnah, or on top of sort of the regular stuff we all know. He said, because this hour is the hour when people lose their deen, right? The fact that I'm only with my wife right now. I'm sort of only in my house right now. It's a blessing, right? Because so much happens in the time of the night. So min sharri ghasiqin idha waqab, from the evil of the night as it when it arrives. Wa min sharri naffathati fil 'uqad, and from the evil of those who blow into the knots. This is something very well known, that sorcery and witchcraft involves this behavior. You make knots, you blow certain spells or incantations into these knots. So the evil of those working on those projects. The black magic, jazakallahu khairan. Min sharri naffathati, from the evil of those blowing into the knots. Wa min sharri hasidin idha hasad, and from the evil of the envier when he envies. The evil of the envier when he envies. You guys know what the envier is? The hater. I hate that someone is blessed. I hate his blessing. That's really what envy is. Otherwise, it could be like jealous admiration. I wish I were better. I wish I were like this person or that person. That would be a good thing. But to hate that someone be blessed, this is envy. What do these have in common? The night, the sorcerers, and the envier. Huh? Sisters, what do these three have in common? You guys thought I wasn't going to ask questions? The people online are a bonus. You guys are my priority. I want to make sure you're with me. Huh? Unseen. These are all hidden dangers, right? The night, by default, is hidden. People don't really do witchcraft in the daytime or out in the open, or also the connection between sort of the spell or this dark art and between its impact is very hard. It needs to be investigated, very hard to link, right? And the envier, subhanAllah, it says the envier when he envies, because it's the act itself. Like, you may know that someone is sort of like jealous of you, but maybe someone isn't. Maybe they're your loved one. Ya'qub alayhi salam said to his sons, said to Yusuf, don't tell your brothers. Sometimes it could be your loved one that's sort of like in a moment of moral weakness, they hit you. When they hit you, how do you see it? Like, it's like a light beam. It's like the red thing comes out of their eyes when they hit you with the evil eye and you can duck. No, there's no ducking. There's no red beam. It is completely invisible. It is ghaibiyat, right? And so this is the theme of Surah Al-Falaq. That in the dark, or even if it's not in the sort of physical dark, the light, the photons, no, you're in the dark. you're sort of walking blind. You have no idea where the dangers are, but you're seeking refuge with who? The one who brings out the light. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Right? قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Any questions on this surah? Okay. You know, also, it is not intentional evil. I forgot to say that. You know, the Prophet والسلام, he would at night go to his two grandsons, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, radiallahu anhuma wa alayhim as-salam, and he used to put his hand on them and say, U'idhukuma, I seek refuge in Allah, isti'adha again, in Allah for you, for you. U'idhukuma bi kalimati Allahi tamma, using Allah's perfect words, min kulli shaytanin wa hamma, from every devil, that's intentional, and also every poisonous creature, right? You get bit somewhere, or sort of infection comes in, or a virus goes up your nose, right? These are unintended a lot of times, right? من كل شيطان وهمة ومن كل عين لامة, and from every critical eye, the eye that looks at you with contempt. And so, since you can't identify, you cannot protect. So your only hope, your only survival is what? استعاذة. قل أعوذ. The next surah is Surah An-Nas. Surah An-Nas. And Surah An-Nas, قُلْ أَعُوذُ, say, I seek refuge, I cling to Allah seeking protection, بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, by the Lord of humanity. Of course, He's the Lord of humanity and everything else, right? Including the person saying it, right? It's not the other, it's everything, including myself. But you're identifying Him as the Lord of humanity, right? Then you say, مَلِكِ النَّاسِ, the King of humanity. Meaning He has absolute authority, absolute dominion, absolute sovereignty, absolute control. Malikin Nas. Ilahin Nas. And then He is also the God. You know, Ilah comes from the word Walaha. Walaha is like an attachment of the heart. I mean, humanity already attaches to God. Muslims only attach themselves to God. That's the difference, right? But every human being, they say there's no atheist in a foxhole, right? You know the foxholes, like the bomb shelters or ditches, when, like in war, right? Everyone sort of goes back to As-Samad. They resort back to him. They all recognize him deep down inside, but then they associate with him. So you're recognizing that you are the true Lord of humanity. You are the king. Because you know not every owner can control their property. Like a landlord whose tenants aren't paying rent or something, right? Not every owner has sort of sovereignty. You are the Lord, and you are the king, that's control, and you are ilah, you are sort of the one that their hearts have no choice but to turn to, right? Malik innas, ilah innas. That's what you're seeking refuge with, or through, of what? Min sharri al-waswas al-khannas, from the evil of the waswas. Waswas means what? The whisperer. It's one of the names of shaitan. He's the whisperer. And there's a big difference between someone who whispers and between a whisperer. What's the difference? It's what he's always doing. Like if I won 400 wrestling matches, right? And I lost one. What do you call me? A winner or a loser? I know you're a perfectionist. You're going to call me a loser anyway, right? I'm a winner because I only lost one, right? I'm not always losing. If I'm always losing, I'm a loser. But if I'm regularly winning, constantly winning, right? Then I'm a winner. I'm identified by my what I'm easily recognized by. Yes? And so shaitan is constantly whispering. Endlessly whispering. He's the whisperer. Al-waswas. The other name of shaitan is what? Al-khannas. Al-khannas, khanasa, means to basically retreat, to run away, to flee. And we know this from the ahadith and the ayat about shaitan. You make adhan, he runs away, then sort of he comes back. Then you make iqamah, he runs away, and then he comes back and whispers to you in your salah. Then you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, khinzab, the salah specialist shaitan. I'm serious, it's not a joke. The salah specialist shaitan, like he has to leave. He's relentless. So he's constantly in this attack mode of whispering, retreat mode, because he cannot coexist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's al-waswas, the whisperer, al-khannas, the retreater. This is also why the Quran says what? وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَانِ نُقَيِّضْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا. Whomever turns a blind eye to the remembrance of God, we appoint for him a devil. Why? Because he invited him. He invited him. من شر الوسواس الخناس. الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس. The one who whispers in the chests of people. And like, there's so much to say here. But number one, he didn't say the hearts of people. Because shaitan literally roams the outskirts of your heart, waiting for an opening to get in. Right? Waiting for someone to let him inside. You know, this is why Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, when he was explaining this surah, he mentioned something beautiful. He said, when you say, oh Allah, protect me min sharri ma khalaq, all the evils out there. He said, but remember that you have like a traitor inside you, your nafs. Like he shouldn't be trusted too much. He's the guy that like he's the scout and he's gonna go out to shaitan and shaitan's gonna bribe me like, come on, let me in, man. Just like, I'm not gonna cause a mess. Just like, and he's gonna bribe him and then he's gonna get weak, right? He says, so you seek refuge in Allah from the evils, but begin with the evil that could be within you, right? The evil, the weakness, the sort of the temptation, the doubt, the confusion of your soul. And that is a great point to think about, because the Prophet ﷺ would say every single Friday, it was not, he never said this in passing. He would say every single Friday, وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شُرُورِ أَنفُسِنَا وَمِنْ سَيِّئَاتِ أَعْمَالِنَا. Oh Allah, protect us from the evils within ourselves. The evil suggestions, sort of the evil access points, right? The security breaches, right? So shaitan is now in the sudur. He whispers in the outskirts, come on out, someone talk to me, please guys, I got a really good offer. He's there, right? And this is, subhanAllah, you find this in another ayah as well. It says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُ. The people of piety, when a ta'if, you know tawaf, going around the Kaaba, when a ta'if means shaitan is just like, as he's circling, he sort of throws a jab at you. Like just, you know, gets he sneaks a punch in. Ta'if, right? They come to their senses. They remember Allah, they remember paradise, they remember the fire. And so they compensate quickly. They clean up quickly any sort of breaches. So Allah is saying here, min sharri al-waswas al-khannas, from the evil of the waswas, the whisper retreater that is there roaming within the chest of the human being. He's seeking his heart. He's seeking to get in. He's looking for a fatal blow. Min sharri al-waswas al-khannas al husus fi sudur al-nas, min al-jinnati wal-nas, from among humanity and jinn kind. So they're not all just jinn. There's humans that bring you away from Allah Azza wa Jal. Intentionally or not, by the way, but they do the work of shaitan. But what's so optimistic about this is that isti'adha now, beginning of the surah, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, is enough for both of them. Right? That if you have Allah Azza wa Jal, you will be protected from the shayateen and their whispers and their sabotaging, whether they're humans or jinn. If the world were to conspire, right, with all of their assets and all of their media, you're still not going to waver if you have Allah. But the trick to seeking Allah with earnest is to realize what Surah An-Nas, like what Surah An-Nas is all about. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, these external hidden dangers, was 5 verses, right? قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, 6 verses is just about your heart. And the scholars said this reminds you that you can't even protect, like, within. Forget protect yourself from external assaults. You can't even protect this chest of yours. This chest of yours that has a Qur'an inside it could drop the Qur'an, right? And then when Allah Azza wa Jal say about the Qur'an, بَلْ هُوَ بَآيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ, these are clear verses, فِي صُدُورٍ, in the chests of those He granted knowledge to. The best knowledge Allah can grant you is the knowledge of the Qur'an. And it's in here. It's in your heart. Right? That rests within your chest. Shaitan is very close. Circling, he knows that so long as you have that Qur'an, he can't touch you. So he's trying to get the Qur'an out. And it can get out. It can get out. And this is what creates the sense of earnest to say, I need this surah. I need قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Does that make sense? The tying in, I can't even protect this little thing inside me. Even that, I can't do. And of what the scholars mention here is that why did the Qur'an say, and this was also a wonderful inference some of the scholars made, when before you begin reciting Qur'an, say أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, because shaitan's going to try to get in the way, right? But then why does it end? This is not begin Quran. Why does the last surah of the Quran end with isti'adha from shaitan? I'm done reading. They said the point here is what? The inference to take is what? No, you're not. This is why some of the scholars would not like when you do a khatmah to stop at min al-jinnati wa nas. They would just start over. Remember in Taraweeh, you'd hear often they'd at least read a few more ayahs from the Al-Baqarah. Why? To say, I recognize that I'm not done. Shaitan's not done, so I'm not done. And there the hadith that mentions also that Allah loves when someone is reciting the Quran, كَالْحَالِ الْمُرْتَحِلِ, is like someone that is constantly on the move. There's no such thing as finishing reading the Quran. The same way there's no such thing as shaitan no longer be, he doesn't retire. He's no longer being al-waswas al-khannas. So you're at the end of the Quran, but no, don't think this is the end of your relationship with the Quran. Start right over. Get right back into it. This is the idea. As for the reason why قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ وَأَعُوذُ رَبِّ النَّاسِ were revealed, there is a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, and I'll end with this, wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was targeted by a Jewish sorcerer in Medina whose name was Labid ibn al-A'sam. And he was able to get his hands on some hairs that of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that had come off in one of his combs. And so he was able to retrieve those hairs and tie them into knots and cast spells into them. Okay? And then this was tossed into a well and buried so that we would not be able to undo the knots and dismantle, defuse the bomb basically, right? Dismantle the spell. Until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam began to fall sick and began to become unsure of certain decisions he made. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What decisions? The rotation between his wives, because he was committed to justice, and so he would have a perfect cycle and start over to give them each an equal amount of his attention and time. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He began to forget which wife I was at previously, which one is entitled next. Until finally, Jibreel alayhi salam came to him and began to perform ruqya on him, and then Allah azza wa jal revealed to him, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, and commanded him to recite them. And these are 11 verses, 5 in قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and 6 in قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And as he read each of these verses, each of the 11 knots was undone until he finally sprung up, recovered from this, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then Jibreel alayhi salam informed him where it was, and they retrieved what was buried of sort of assets. By the way, some people have a problem with this hadith. They say, I refuse to believe. Like, I heard someone who like became dismissive of Sahih al-Bukhari. This hadith is highly authentic, it's in Bukhari and Muslim. It got dismissive of the most authentic hadith books because it insults the Prophet ﷺ. How does it insult the Prophet ﷺ? Because it says that he was sort of impacted by black magic. What's your response? How can you say the Prophet ﷺ was sort of impacted by black magic? The Prophet ﷺ was attacked many times in his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? He was attacked by a sword and he bled. Right or wrong, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was knocked unconscious at Uhud. He lost teeth, alayhi salatu wa sallam. The armor punctured into his face, salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi. And this is just another assault that raises his rank and proves his humanness. This is actually a major objective that the Quran is filled with. Like, you're going to dismiss the hadith because they show a vulnerability of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran goes to great lengths to tell us, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ قُلْ مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. I'm a human being like you. I'm nothing new. I'm just like the other messengers. I'm a human being. This proves he's a human being, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's number one. Number two, it's a means for Allah to raise his rank of the tribulations that he went through, and the prophets go through more difficult tribulations to get raised higher ranks. That's number two. So the humanness proves his prophethood, and the tribulations raise his prestige. And the third thing is, how else do we know what to do in similar situations, if this didn't happen to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? You know, like the hadith also of Dhul Yadain, Abu Hurairah narrates in Sahih al-Bukhari that the Prophet ﷺ prayed Dhuhr or Asr as two rak'ahs. it doesn't make any sense. Someone can say that doesn't make any sort of sense. Like, at least three. Like, why two? Like, by the way, the salahs were all two. And then Dhuhr, Asr, Isha became four unless you were traveling. So two is very imaginable, okay? That was the norm. That was the default in the beginning as the society was being accustomed to their prayers. And so he prayed two. And so when he finished the prayers, he got up and said, "Ya," a man called Dhul Yadayn, he was known as Dhul Yadayn because he had very long arms. So the guy with the long arms, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, you prayed only two." He said, "No, I didn't." And then everybody chimed in, "Yes, you did." So he conceded, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he prayed two rak'ahs. And after he prayed those two more rak'ahs, he offered the two prostrations that we all do when we forget something. And had Allah not caused him to forget, we would not know what to do in our prayers when we forget. That's all. As for anyone assuming that this narration sort of is a charge against his prophethood or his reliability, and the Quran says the shayateen have no access to the revelation, this narration has nothing to do with revelation. This is part of his human endeavors, his marital sort of life. There is no narration you will ever find that says the shayateen sort of undermined the communication of the Quran, the transmission of the Quran, and he mentioned verses wrong. No way. Impossible, right? So there is no concern here regarding his veracity, his reliability to bring to us the message. This is completely separate. This is sort of a human difficulty he had, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah Azza wa Jal granted him, قُلْ أَعُوذُ رَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ رَبِّ النَّاسِ, and granted it to his ummah through him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.